Hey, everybody.
Hi.
It's us and we're back.
It is episode 71 of Cat Naps in Cognac. OMG.
Yes, OMG.
We are your hosts. I'm Arielle and
I'm Dee Dee.
Yay. And it's a holiday weekend.
It is. It's July 4th, the weekend. You're listening today. It's July 4th. And we hope that you guys listened before you guys went out to go and party and enjoyed the festivities of July 4th.
Yes, 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 yes. A lot of stuff is going down in America.
In America, yes. The stinky thing is like up here in New York, Hurricane Arthur is coming. So the weather's going to be kind of bad on Friday.
I heard it's not supposed to be that bad, though. Like, I heard that New York City's not really supposed to get any of it.
We're good. Like I hope not, because I want to be able to go to the beach and drink sangria and mimosas.
Ow.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Anywho, so how are you?
Not too shabby. What about you?
Not too shabby at all. Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah.
It's a three-day weekend, so.
There we go.
Yeah, you can't be mad at that. Can't be mad at that. So anywho, let's get into it. Let's get into America.
Yes. What's going on in America?
Well, you know, the USA was in the World Cup. We made it, and we made it pretty far. There were a lot of naysayers and a lot of people who were doubting USA, but we made it. We made it to the 16th round of the World Cup, and then we finally got knocked out by Belgium 2-1.
Aww.
Oh,
that game was a doozy.
It was a doozy. I mean, that game had my stress levels to the max. Like, it was crazy. And, you know, first of all, let me address these people who were all on Twitter, you know, knocking us for watching soccer. Like, what is your problem?
Everything.
Everything is your problem. Get over yourself.
The World Cup only comes once every 4 years.
Right. And, no, maybe we're not watching soccer all the time, but how come, what makes it wrong for us to root for our team? I feel like we got into this last episode, but whatever. Screw you people who were mad at us for watching the World Cup. So anywho, the game was awesome. Tim Howard, who is the goalie for the USA, he's hot, by the way. So hot.
He is.
Yeah, and he blocked 16 potential goals.
16.
From Belgium.
The most in World Cup history.
Yes.
Since
to the point where they was that true? I don't know if it was true that they tested him to see if he was doing drugs.
I didn't see anything about that except for a little bit on Twitter. So I'm not sure if it's true. So I'm not gonna go with that.
Okay, good. So I hope they didn't, because that that's his job. That's what he's supposed to do. Block goals. So.
And they lost. Like, don't add insult to injury.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Don't put salt in the wound and then say, yeah, he was on drugs, but we still lost. So, I mean, come on. Anyway, so America. But I just loved the whole, you know, how we came together.
In true American fashion.
Country. Yeah. I really loved the way that we were, you know, such fans and so excited for the U.S. It really made me happy, except for those people who were mad at us for watching soccer or for you rooting for the U.S. Like, who were we supposed to root for?
Right.
You know? We're supposed to root for Ghana, for Ivory Coast. Like, I have all of those, you know, countries in my background. Who am I supposed to root for? Most of these people don't even know, you know, their lineage and where they come from, but we're not supposed to root for America. However, you are telling us not to root for America on your internet that you can use freely with your freedom of speech. Cool, cool, cool. Anyway, go America. Can't wait for next World Cup.
Yeah, hopefully they'll get even further. Like, yeah, you know. Yeah,
hopefully.
Just take it step by step.
Yeah. What else we got going on? Oh, my gosh. The Supreme Court.
Yeah. Can you, I'm not too familiar with this, and, you know, I could be ashamed. I'm not, though. But explain to me what is going on with this Hobby Lobby. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, Hobby Lobby. I've never even heard of this place before. Apparently, it's like a craft shop or whatever like that, but I think they're based, they have, like, Christian values or whatever. And so, basically, with Obamacare, birth control is mandated. You have to be able to get birth control through Obamacare. So if your employer decides to go with Obamacare, then that means that they have to offer you birth control. But the thing is, like, Catholics, they don't believe in birth control. Mormons and other kind of religious groups don't believe in birth control, so they don't feel that they should have to be mandated to offer birth control to their employees. And so the Supreme Court ruled that, yeah, you know what? You can not decide not to, if it, a for-profit company can decide not to give birth control. And so basically they're treating these corporations as if they are actual people and not a corporation. It kind of sucks because, you know, you're not having sex with your corporation, but however, they are screwing you by not being able to get birth control.
Uh-huh.
It kind of, you know, it's awful. So that's what's going on. I don't know what the, I'm really disappointed in the Supreme Court. I was so happy with them last week when they made the decision to to have warrants for phones, but this one I'm really not very impressed with. So according to this NPR article, the Supreme Court's opinion Monday holding that some for-profit firms don't have to provide women contraceptive coverage required under the Affordable Care Act if the companies have religious objections addressed only half of the continuing legal battle over the birth control mandate. But those on both sides of the issue think the court's majority may have telegraphed which way it could rule should one of those other cases reach the justices. Depending on whose count you use, there are more than 50 other lawsuits still working their way toward the high court. They were filed by nonprofit groups, mostly religious, educational, and health organizations like universities and hospitals. Unlike for-profit companies, which were required to provide the contraceptive coverage directly through their insurance plans, religious nonprofits were given a special accommodation under rules issued by the Obama administration in 2013. They only have to fill out a form saying they object to providing the benefit on religious grounds and send it into their insurer, or in the case of the organizations that self-insure, to the company that administers their health benefits. Once that happens, the insurance company or third-party administrator provides the contraceptive benefits at no cost to the employer or the employee. For the insurers, providing contraceptives is considered less expensive than paying for pregnancy and childbirth. Yeah, third-party administrators are indirectly being subsidized by a government in these cases. But even filling out that form is too much for those organizations. Signing the form triggers the provision of services, says Daniel Blomberg, legal counsel with the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty, which is representing many of the nonprofit plaintiffs in the cases. For many of the organizations, that makes them complicit in providing something they object to on religious grounds, he said. But that may not be how the Supreme Court's majority sees things. The majority opinion written by Justice Samuel Alito said the administration could extend the offer it makes to nonprofits to for-profit firms with the religious objections as well. The accommodation does not impinge on plaintiffs' religious beliefs that providing insurance coverage for the contraceptive at issue here violates their religion, and it still serves HHS stated interests, Alito wrote. So basically, it was a nonprofit thing, and then now it's going into for-profit places. So now, I mean, you know, Chick-fil-A could do it as well, because Chick-fil-A was founded on religious, you know, beliefs, and that's the reason why they're not open on Sundays, and that's the reason why they don't support, you know, abortion and all this other stuff. Again, it kind of sucks that, you know, that your job can tell you no, yes or no, you can't or can have contraceptives or, you know, birth control.
And what also sucks about the situation is that birth control isn't only used for preventing birth.
Right.
Which really sucks if you're not using it for that reason.
Exactly.
And birth control is very expensive.
It is expensive.
Extremely expensive. Yeah. So.
And, you know, I mean, now we have the option of getting, like, generics and things like that. So the generic form will only be $16 or $15, which is good. They're trying to make it affordable, but some people still can't even afford that, you know? Like, so it's really unfair. And again, like Ari said, birth control, even though I know on Twitter y'all think that people, you know, only the whores are using birth control, or whatever y'all be saying about people with birth control and blah, blah, blah. But for some people who have amenorrhea, which is where women don't get their periods regularly, birth control regulates their periods and also helps, you know, people who have active and hyperactive thyroids. It also helps with hyperactive thyroids and makes you lose weight because it calms down the hormones that are coming out of your thyroid, thus making you gain weight. So it's beneficial for some people, and they don't just use it just to not have a baby. It's not just for that. It's also for other health, you know, health reasons. So again, I think it's unfair that the place where you work can decide whether or not you can get contraceptives. Mm-mm-mm. Yeah. So that's what's going on in America.
It's like so many highs and lows.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. Ugh. Ooh, eek. So yeah, I have a friend of mine who actually works for a university that's Catholic, and so now her birth control isn't covered by her insurance.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry. What I was gonna say was, it's like, what's the deal, Catholics? It's like, are you guys virgins until you get married? Like, all y'all?
Oh, girl, please.
Exactly. Like, at this point, it's MYOB.
Right.
And you shouldn't be able to tell me what I can do with my body.
Exactly. And you shouldn't tell me if I need to, have children or can't have sex and things like that. Like, no. Because they don't even want you using condoms, Catholics.
Right. I just don't understand, like, how this is an issue where it's okay for the government to regulate what is going on with a woman's body. Like, I just, in this day and age.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's really crazy. We've made such strides in other areas, but when it comes to women's rights and what we can do with our bodies, the way that the government polices us, it's crazy. You know, I was just veering off a little bit, but there was an article that I saw floating on Twitter where a woman had miscarried because she was taking crystal meth. And so they were thinking of charging her with manslaughter for miscarrying the child because she endangered the child by taking crystal meth. Now, the thing is, if the court were to make that ruling that they could, prosecute her for manslaughter, then that means any woman who miscarried could be prosecuted for manslaughter. You're setting a precedent right there. So, I mean, good God. I mean, I understand with her, she was doing drugs, and so that's why she miscarried. But can you imagine, like, you know, somebody, you know, your doctor tells you you're not supposed to drink herbal teas, and then you drink an herbal tea, and then you miscarry.
Right.
And then they, you know, you could possibly go to jail because you drank some tea.
This is really wild.
It's wild. And I think that was in Louisiana, or, you know, some state in the South, or maybe Alabama. It was some state in the South that they were bringing this. They were trying to bring this to trial to prosecute this woman for manslaughter. I mean, look, prosecute her for using drugs or having the drugs or whatever, but the miscarriage. Now, this is where, you know, we are really, it's really touchy here. Because once you rule that, then any woman can be prosecuted for that. And that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So crazy. Or like if your doctor told you not to exercise or to stay in bed and you got up to go to the kitchen and then you miscarried and like, whoa, I'm going to possibly go to jail or prison because I got up to go get myself a glass of water. That's outrageous.
Life is not orange as new black people.
Right.
Like, stop it.
Yeah, just stop. But yeah, this is our America. That's what it is. That's our America, you know. Again, like Ari said, peaks and valleys here. Highs and lows. I don't know. I'm not impressed with this particular low here.
No, not at all.
Not at all. But moving on.
Yes, moving on.
Moving on. This is one of our favorite segments, and it's Today I Learned.
Whoop whoop.
Yes. So I want to share with you what I learned today.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe you guys have always been wondering why the QWERTY, the keyboard is the way that it is. Like, why wouldn't it make more sense to just put it in alphabetical order than to have to figure out and learn blah, 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 blah? Well, there's actually a reason why that happened. So the first typewriter was introduced to the United States in 1868 by Christopher Latham Sholes. His first attempt to build a typing device consisted of a crude and sluggish machine that was far from perfect. The design used letters and characters on the ends of rods, which were called type bars. When a key was struck, the type bar would swing up and hit the ink-coated tape, which would transfer the image onto paper. The original design of the keyboard positioned keys in alphabetical order in two rows. That makes sense, right? Well, this arrangement caused the type bars of most commonly used combination letters of the alphabet, i.e. T, H, and S, T, to be positioned close together. So when the keys were hit right after the other with the speed faster than a snail, the keys would jam. The attempt to solve this malfunction resulted in a rearrangement of the keys. In 1868, in collaboration with educator Amos Densmore, Sholes arranged the letters on the keyboard for better spacing between popular keys used in combination. The result was that this initially made it difficult for people to find the letters they needed to type efficiently. However, someone mastered this new key arrangement and would actually be able to type faster because the keys wouldn't jam. This was the beginning of the QWERTY keyboard, which first appeared in 1872.
Mm.
Yeah, so the first typewriter machine found its way on the market in 1874 through Remington & Sons. The device was called the Remington No. 1. You're probably thinking it sold out in minutes since it was the latest and greatest technological device to be mass-produced. Well, the truth is, most people ignored it. Sure, the machine still had some quirks, and Sholes had yet to figure out the ideal customers for his invention, but in the late 1870s, the idea of mechanical writing was just plain strange for most people. The accepted norm was to write letters in legible longhand, and many people found mechanical writing uncouth or even offensive.
Rude.
Sholes figured his device would appeal to clergymen and men of letters first, and then he'd branch out to general public. He didn't even consider its use in business. All of these factors probably played a part in the typewriter's initial lack of sales. 4 years later, after slight modifications to the arrangement of the keyboard were made, Remington & Sons produced the new Remington No. 2 model. The Remington No. 2 included the arrangement of keys we use today, along with the ability to type both capital and lowercase letters by using the shift key. The shift key received its name because it caused the carriage to shift position in order to type either a lowercase or capital letter, which were on the same type bar. Although the shift key we use on our keyboards today does not cause the machine to shift mechanically, the name stuck. As the typewriter rose in popularity, people stopped complaining about the weird arrangement of keys and started memorizing the keyboard and learning how to type efficiently.
That's all you gotta do.
Yeah, that's exactly. Stop bitching and just start typing. Although other alternate keyboards tried to break onto the market, most people decided to stay with the QWERTY keyboard, and none of the other typewriting machines proved successful. So, that's how the QWERTY keyboard came along.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, when I was younger and I first, like, saw a keyboard, I wondered why they weren't in alphabetical order either.
Yeah.
And then, like, as I got older, I thought about it and was like, it would be really weird if certain letters were next to certain letters. So, obviously, it makes sense. That's the reason why.
Yeah, exactly. I remember, because I went to a computer magnet, and so we had to learn how to type. And I remember ASDF, ching, JKL, semicolon.
Uh-huh.
Like, so, I remember that so well, learning how to type. And I think I'm a pretty good typist now. And it was because of, I will never forget him, Mr. Lee Gross, teaching us how to type. He was a Haitian guy, and he was so funny. He used to crack me up.
I had a teacher named, Mrs. Edwards, and she was from Georgia. And she had the cutest Southern accent. But I wasn't the best of typists. I felt like I just memorized where they were, but I don't go along with the typical, let me place my fingers on the ASDF.
Yeah, yeah. JKL. Look, I'm not using my pinky for the Q and then using the middle finger for the E, blah, blah, blah. Look.
Right, I feel like that's only for secretaries and madmen.
Yeah, yes, exactly. and stenographers. Like,
yeah. Nobody. And they don't even have a real keyboard. It's different.
Right, right. Because I always want to know, like, how do they type so fast?
I don't know. I wonder if certain letters mean certain words and...
Maybe.
Stuff like that to make it go faster.
Maybe. That'd be a cool thing to, like, do for a day, be a stenographer.
Ooh, child. There will be a whole bunch of court records messed up. You don't want me to do that. And then the nimble ran away with the spoon. Like,
I don't know what I typed.
What is going on?
Well, so that's what I learned today, and I hope you guys learned something new. What about you, Ari? What did you learn today?
Well, this is like a today I learned slash it's a current fact or a current event kind of thing, but okay. It's a continuation of one of our previous today I learns.
Okay.
A few episodes ago, we talked about where what would Jesus do came from.
Right.
But it turns out that Tyler Perry recently controls the trademark to what would Jesus do.
Oh, he does?
Yeah. And apparently, it's a little bit of a weird story, but do you remember the show I Want to Work for Diddy that was on VH1?
Yes.
Do you remember the contestant Popra?
Yes, I do.
Well, it turns out she used to own it before Tyler Perry did.
She used to own What Would Jesus Do?
Yeah. She had it trademarked first.
What?
And it says that it was in connection, this is according to Gawker, it was in a connection with a TV show that never came about. So, Tyler Perry wanted to use it, and his lawyers invoked the use-it-or-lose-it principle of trademark registration and convinced the judges that she had abandoned the mark. So, Popra, real name Kimberly Kearney, she claimed that Tyler Perry stole her idea after she shared it with the Tyler Perry Studios, but the judges found that there wasn't enough evidence to block Perry's registration on the grounds of unclean hands. So now Tyler Perry owns a trademark, and now you want to know, I want to know, what's he going to do with it?
Yeah.
Because I feel like, first of all, we didn't even say What Would Jesus Do anymore. That was like a thing in the 2000s or late 99s. So it's like, what is he going to do with it? So that's kind of, it's kind of weird to me that he's trademarking something that I feel like I haven't heard him said. It's not like Paris Hilton trademarking That's Hot or
right.
Donald Trump trademarking You're Fired.
Fired.
Like, I don't know. I feel like he should have trademarked something that Madea said, but I don't know.
How easy is it to make a trademark? I want to trademark something. Shoot.
What would you trademark?
Not impressed.
Ah, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
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 Not impressed.
I don't know what I would trademark. I don't know at all. I feel like I say too much. Maybe I need like a real trademark.
Yeah, I know what yours would be.
What?
You got it.
Really? I feel like everyone says that.
No, you say it like that though.
Oh, you right. As I did the car washes and you right.
Exactly.
You right. All right.
This too would be yours. You right. Got it. Those things you use that to trademark.
Oh, wow. So Perry also noted that in his filing that he doesn't claim any exclusive right to use Jesus outside of the disputed four-word phrase. The trademark only applies to motion pictures, TV shows, live performance. So you can still own a WWJD bracelet without putting money in Tyler Perry Presents Tyler Perry's pocket.
Oh my gosh.
That was funny, Gawker.
That was funny. Good for you, Gawker.
And I guess good for you, Tyler Perry. I don't know.
I guess. What would Jesus do? I don't know. I mean, like, so basically what? Like, if somebody says it in a movie or something, then he's going to get money for it?
It seems like it, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, nobody's saying that anymore, so.
I mean, unless it's like some Christian movie or something.
Oh, you're right.
Or maybe a play or something.
I don't be watching no Christian movies now. I'm a heathen. I can say that I'd be watching flicks or anything like that. But
she be watching the scan flicks, y'all. Would Jesus do that? I don't think so.
I don't think so. No, Jesus wouldn't do that.
Man, we're not making jokes on you, Jesus. We love you.
Forgive me, Lord. Lord, forgive me, Lord.
Jesus loves me, yes, I know. For Tyler Perry tells me so.
That's right.
Oh, gosh. All right. What's next?
So, moving on. Guess what? You know what? Well, it is July 4th, so hopefully you guys have already done your chores and all your homework. And if you haven't, who cares? It's July 4th. It's America. It's freedom. Let freedom ring. But it is TV time!
Yay! Flailing my arms like Kermit. Yay! Yeah. Kermit. Ain't no strings on these arms.
I know what answer wrong. So, for TV time. So, True Blood came back 2 weeks ago. I just finally watched the first two episodes, and it's just like, wow, it's getting cuckoo. But this is the final season of True Blood.
Is it getting cuckoo good, or like just cuckoo for cuckoo's sake?
It's cuckoo good, because there's a new breed of vampires that have been introduced.
Ooh.
And they're like, you know, it's like a whole gang of them, and they've come from like the town over, and they have like some kind of like autoimmune deficiency disease for vampires. And I don't know, they're just really gross, but it's good. It's really good. But this is the last season, and this is also what, you know, Boardwalk Empire is supposed to be coming back if it hasn't come back already, and this is going to be the final season for Boardwalk Empire. And these are two major shows on the HBO network, so I'm curious to see what kind of shows they're going to be bringing in next, because these were two powerhouse shows on HBO. Yeah, so it's going to be, I'm excited to see what they're bringing, because, I mean, Veep was really good, even though that didn't take place of True Blood or Boardwalk Empire, but Veep is a good show that they brought on. I'm forgetting the name of the Silicon Valley. That's a pretty good show. That was a pretty good comedy that they're bringing on, but both of those are comedies. True Blood and Boardwalk Empire are dramas, I guess I would say. So I'm curious to see what new dramas they're going to bring, to take place for True Blood and Boardwalk Empire.
It will be interesting.
Yeah. To see. Do you watch either one of those shows?
I tried to get into Boardwalk Empire. Well, short story, short answer, no. I've watched the first couple seasons of True Blood, but that was like after the show already began, and it was on like its third season or something like that, and I just never really got back into watching it. I don't know. I have like a weird thing about the supernatural when it comes to TV shows. Like, I believe in zombies and all that shit, but I don't know. Vampires never really interest me.
Wait, you said you believe in zombies?
Yeah, girl. Yes.
Ah, well, we are ready for the zombie apocalypse.
Listen, you gotta get you girls, keep them New Balances strapped.
Right. So does that mean, when you said that you believe in zombies, then does that mean that you don't believe in vampires?
I want to say, like, because I believe in them, it's just I feel like they're better ghouls, I guess you would say.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't want to see someone like sinking their teeth with fangs, but I'm cool with a zombie taking a chunk out of someone's neck and like ripping it apart that way. Like, I don't know. I feel like zombies, I'm sorry, not zombies, but vampires, I feel like they're too cool for school. Like, they walk around and they slink and shit. Like, get out of here.
Especially on True Blood. Like,
yeah.
They're having sex with human people. Like, what? What?
Yeah. I don't know what the hell's going on here. I'm not with it.
I'm not with it either, honey. But, yeah, I don't really like vampires. But there was, you know, two summers ago, I didn't have anything to watch. And the whole 4 or 5 seasons, whatever, five seasons was on HBO Go. So I was like, oh, let me watch it. So I was like, let me see what the big deal is. So I started watching it, and like, you know, season 1, I was just like, no, whatever. Season 2, was what really hooked me. I was like, oh my God, this is a good show. Then season 3 was good. Season 4 was okay. Season 5, and then I watched season 6 with everybody else. I was all caught up. And now I think this is season 7. If this is season 8, then, you know, I watched
True Blood.
Yeah.
It's season 6.
Season 6. Okay, so then I watched seasons 1 through 4 by myself, and then I watched 5 and 6 with everybody else.
Got it.
Or I'm watching 5 and 6 with everybody else. Last season was the one where I got all caught up. yeah, so, but HBO does have a new show that's coming. And first I'll talk about the show, then I'll say what I think about it. It's called Leftovers. Mm-hmm. Did you watch it yet?
No, I started to watch it, but I wasn't paying attention, so I have to go back. You know how I do.
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet. I just saw the previews, and I really liked it. It's akin to these shows like the 4400, the Resolution. What's that name of that show?
Resurrection,
and Le Grand Blanc. But it's kind of an inverse where those other shows, 4400, Resurrection, and Le Grand Blanc, these people were dead and then they come back. On this show, on Leftovers, people get taken away, and then the leftovers, quote-unquote, the people who did not get taken are trying to deal and cope with what's going on and where their family members are.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think it's going to be a really good show. However, I find it a little bit, I don't know if kitschy is the word I should use, or gimmicky for HBO.
Yeah, it does not look like it should be an HBO show. That's for damn sure.
Okay, so I thought it was just me, because I was like, this doesn't feel like an HBO show at all.
It looks like it should be on a cable network. Yeah, a regular.
I can definitely.
Yeah.
This is an FX type show, but it made it to HBO, so kudos to you guys. Maybe because they wanted to have sex on there and show naked people. So maybe that's why. Because I did see some previews of people doing it, of course. I mean, it's HBO, and all the shows have to have naked people.
Yes.
So it looks good, though. It looks like it's gonna be a good show, and I'm here for it. I love me some suspense, any kind of suspenseful type shows, and things like that.
I asked someone last night on Twitter what they thought of the show, and they said that they liked it, that it was good. Because at first, when I saw the previews for it, I was shook. I was like, "Oh my god!" My hands were covering my eyes, like. All of that, but he said it wasn't that bad. It wasn't like that for the premiere.
Yeah, I asked a friend of mine, and he watched it, and he was saying, he kind of was like, meh. He wasn't really feeling it, but he said that he would watch another episode to give it, you know, another chance, but he didn't really care for the first episode.
Okay, I'm with that then.
Yeah. So, I'm going to try to watch it and see for myself. I think just from the previews, I think I'm going to like it. And hopefully I do. Hopefully HBO doesn't let me down. I don't think they have yet. There's not one show that I've watched on HBO where I was just like, oh my God, this was terrible.
I know, their shows have gotten like so good since they started putting out shows.
Yeah, their shows are so good.
So, I'm definitely interested to see what else they're going to come about with and if I'll get into this show. I feel like for HBO, they have such a formula for the things that they take on.
Definitely.
And for me personally, I feel like if a show is going to be on HBO, they should have like a 5-6 season max.
Yes. Any of these, premium cable channels, 5-6 seasons and then stop it.
Mm-hmm.
Like if the story is not able to be completed within 5-6 seasons, then don't pick it up.
No.
It's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of what show has gone on or is going on too long.
Curb Your Enthusiasm went on pretty long.
It did. And then it even came back.
Huh?
It even came back.
Yeah. And it has like 8 seasons.
Good grief.
Yeah. After a while, it was like, all right, Larry David, like, what's going on? Like, you got black people living in your house now and everything. Like,
yeah. I mean, Weeds went 8 seasons, right?
I don't believe it went 8 seasons. No, I think it went 6.
6? Okay. Then I think I was over it by...
I was over it by season 4.
Yeah, I think I watched all season, but I was just like, it could have ended at season 4. Season 5 at the max.
Whenever their asses went to Mexico for some damn weed, I was out.
Yeah. Right. Like, Mexico is where you go for cocaine.
was having babies and getting married. It was like, nah, bruh. Get this shit out of here. I'm over it.
It went on too long. Went on way too long.
That's what she said. Yeah.
That was a good one. Thank you. I will give you points for that. Yes. I don't know where you can redeem your points, but I'm going to give you points for that.
What else is new?
Well, speaking in that tone, it sounds like it's grinding your gears.
Oh!
Yeah, let's go right into it. What grinds your gears?
Gosh, what? I've been trying to think of what's been grinding my gears lately. Why don't we start with you, with what grinds your gears, Dee Dee?
Uneven ice cubes.
Huh?
Yes. So, like, if you put the ones where you have to fill the water in yourself and then put that into the freezer.
Mm-hmm.
I hate it when people don't fill up the ice tray evenly. So you got one side that has full cubes, and then the other side got these itty bitty flat pieces of ice. Fill up the ice tray evenly and properly. And also, if you're gonna put it, when you put it into the freezer, don't put it on a lean so that one side, you know, I'll be getting tired. That really bothers me.
Okay. All right, continuing on your, I have a couple now.
Okay.
All right, continuing on the ice tray train.
Okay.
When someone leaves the tray of ice on the counter and don't put it back in the freezer.
Why would you do that?
So now no one can have ice.
Now we all gonna have to have hot drinks while you were sipping on your nice cool drink.
Hello.
Thank you. Thank you for being so inconsiderate. We really appreciate it.
That I do not understand. Because it's like, you had to go in a freezer that, like, opening a freezer is an experience. At least for me it is. Every single time I open up that damn door.
Right.
It's cold. It's a blast of cold air.
Right, blast of cold air. And it's like, you know, like foaming and frosting,
mm-hmm.
smoking coming out because it's so cold. It's an experience every single time. So in your head, you should know that you're going to experience it at least twice. Because you have to open it and then put whatever you need to open, put it back in.
There you go.
What are we doing? What are we doing? Why are we not putting the ice tray back into the freezer?
I don't understand it.
It's obnoxious.
Okay, and I have one more grinds my gears.
Okay.
When someone uses up the toilet paper and don't put another roll on it.
Oh my gosh.
They don't put another toilet tissue roll back on the thing.
Why would you do that?
That's what grinds my gears. Nothing makes me more upset than walking into a bathroom and seeing an empty roll. It's like you couldn't even have the common courtesy to take that roll off and put it in the garbage can.
Right, right. Because then at least you would make me think that you were thinking about putting another roll on, but, you know, when you went to wash your hands and then you forgot or something. But when you leave the empty roll on the roll, it's like, you really? You leave the empty roll on the dispenser. It's like you really just left it there.
It's like you're reminding me. This is your reminder that you cannot wipe your ass.
Right.
And I don't want you to.
That's so raggedy.
That's what it tells me. That's what grinds my gears.
Yes. And that's what grinds my gears too.
But we have another grinds our gears.
Yes, we do.
We do. From our friend Sterling from the Lost Dial. Let's get into what grinds his gears. This is what he wrote to us. He said, "You want to know what grinds my gears? What ruffles my feathers? What clogs my vacuum?" He's upset. "While I empathize with the previous listener's gripes about people who respond with a huh, I feel like those same people are the ones that prior to asking you a question will ask if they can ask a question." "Perhaps it's the syntax of the request, because I have no problem with someone saying, 'Greetings, kind sir, I have an inquiry for you,' versus, 'Can I ask you a question?' No.
No.
And if you really want to throw a wrench in the ground gears, don't ask, nay, don't text me the following, 'Can you do me a favor?' Depending on who you are, depends on my answer. but you get an answer to the question faster if you just get to the point. And don't do both offenses because, no, ain't nobody got time for that. And could you effing not? And while it isn't a gear in the grind, I say this is a squeaky gear when you mentioned a certain Twitter user that has a habit of capitalizing the first letter of every word in their tweets. I know someone who does this, and his reason is because it lets his followers know that it's him tweeting. Just in case someone else uses his account or sends out tweets, they'll know the difference. He failed to understand that it sadly isn't as original as he thinks, nor is it helpful, as I'm thinking he's naming a song or movie with a very long title. He just had to get that off his chest.
Well, I agree with you. It's annoying.
I completely agree.
I don't like when people haunt me. I don't like when people ask me if they can ask me questions. Like, you already asked me one. That's it. Bye.
Right.
You asked your question. And like you said, it's easier if you were to just say, hey, can you do this for me? Instead of saying, can you do me a favor? And then you got to ask for the favor. Like, just ask for the favor. Save us both some time and text. Even though we all have unlimited text. Just save us that. And just get to it. And then this whole capitalizing the first letter of every word that you type on Twitter,
dumb.
I'm gonna puke.
Dumb.
Would you guys stop that?
And I don't know who it is that he's talking about, but what makes you think that someone want to take your phone and send tweets acting like they you?
Nigga, please.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, come on. Come on.
Do you think we want to hack you?
Please. Some people just think they are way too important.
They really do.
Yeah. You guys really put... It's cute. It's cute how important you guys think you are, but you're not.
Sorry. Yikes.
Sorry to break the news to you.
Yikes.
Yeah. Sorry to do that here, but yeah.
We ruthless. So we want to know what grinds your gears. If you have any more gears to grind or that are ground or not squeaky like Sterling says,
you're right.
Send us an email at catnaps.andcognac@gmail.com and we will read them on our podcast and we'll probably agree with you too.
Yep.
Because we have a lot of gears that have been ground.
Yes. And our feathers do get ruffled quite often.
Yeah, and quite easily. Maybe that's something that we need to change about ourselves, but I'm not ready to yet, right. So I'm not gonna.
It's none of your business. You better be like Kermit, okay?
Right, it's none of my business. It's none of your business.
That's none of your business how I handle my feathers.
Right.
Yeah. They get ruffled, and that's what happens. And then we're able to vent on our podcast.
We like to do that because, yes, you know, we don't always get a chance to do that any other time.
Yes, it's cathartic. So please, like Ari said, send us an email so that we can air out, you know, your gears that are ground.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so do it. Well, with that being said, I think it's time for us to move on to cocktail time. Yeah.
What's our cocktail?
Well, our cocktail is called Marca. Because it is 4th of July and 4th of July weekend, we want you guys to have a great weekend with a great drink. So, here's what you're going to need. You're going to need a cup of finely crushed ice, 1/4 fluid ounce of blue curacao, 2 fluid ounces of lemon-flavored vodka, and 1/4 fluid ounce of raspberry-flavored liqueur. A brand that you could use is Raspberry Sour Puss. Ooh. Okay, so this is what you're going to need. You're basically going to need 3 bowls. And you're going to place ice into each one of those bowls. So in one bowl, you're going to put ice and then the blue curacao. In the next bowl, you're going to put ice and the lemon-flavored vodka. Half of the lemon-flavored vodka. So you're going to... One ounce of the lemon-flavored vodka and the ice. And then in the other one, in the third bowl, you're going to have ice, the other fluid ounce of the lemon-flavored vodka, and the raspberry liqueur. So you mix all those up, and then you're going to layer it. So then on the bottom layer, you're going to have the blue curacao ice. In the middle layer, you're going to have the lemon-flavored vodka ice. And then on the top layer, you're going to have the lemon flavored vodka / raspberry liqueur ice on top. And there you go. That's Merc, or red, white, and blue, baby.
Yum.
Yes. Oh, yeah, so you're going to need a cup to put that in.
Sorry.
I figured you guys would know that.
Right. We love regular show.
We love it.
For you guys that don't know.
Love it. I think we should go as Mordecai and Rigby for Halloween this year.
Oh, my gosh! That's such a good idea!
Well, that'd be great.
That would be such a good idea. I love it.
Great. That's what we're going to do.
Let's.
See? This is so much fun. I love working with Ari because we get to see. Okay.
It's always a fun time.
Exactly.
Dee Dee's my favorite podcast host.
Aww. Who are you? Yeah. Okay, enough mushy mushy.
All right.
So we hope that you guys will enjoy your 4th of July weekend. Stay safe. Make sure that you enjoy this drink or whatever you're doing. Enjoy it and be good out there. But before we sign off, where can we find you, Ari?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Ariel Cherie. What about you, Dee Dee?
You can also find me on Twitter and Instagram, Lucky Stars, LuckyEstarz. You can find us, the show, on Twitter, Catnaps, the letter N, Cognac. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/ Catnaps and Cognac. We're on the Spreaker Network. Just search Catnaps and Cognac. We are also on iTunes, of course. Just search for Catnaps and Cognac, and we will pop right up. Make sure that you go and like our page on Facebook and also rate us. Give us 5 stars and comment.
Please.
Yes, please, please. Of course, please. On iTunes. And we're also, you can go to our site, catnapsandcognac.podbean.com, and you can find all of our episodes there. And we even have one video there where we were giving you etiquette, which would be really good for you to watch for this 3-day weekend.
Definitely.
We had a 3-day weekend video to tell you what the things you should and shouldn't do. So make sure you check out that video, or you could go to youtube.com/catnapsandcognac and find us there. And I think that's it.
All right. That's the end of our show. So we'll talk to you next time.
Yes. Stay safe.
Bye.
Bye.